but that song, man, that was an awesome song. You know, that to me, I thought when we finished singing that song, everybody would have busted out in applause. I mean, and we just kind of sat there. But gosh, Sherry, thank you. Or Ashley, thank you. I'm sorry, Sherry's her mom. I've known Sherry a long time. Ashley, thank you, and Asa. Our worship team and the band, they do such a great job. And here's one thing that we need to remember to do. Of course, you know, we are without a full-time worship pastor right now. And so we as a church need to be praying for that, for the Lord to raise up. I mean, God already knows who our next worship pastor is going to be, as well as our children's minister. So we need to pray for the people that are involved in looking for those next individuals. And I hope you are doing that. I hope you've made that a priority in your life to pray for that. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being a part of Sunrise. I love our church. I love our staff, Pastor Tim and Skeeter and Matt and all of those that are serving, even right now, Ray and Tim Rice as well. We've got a great church family. And so I'm excited. I think we've got some of our best days ahead of us. And so be praying for our church, especially as we head into this new year, and pray specifically for those that are going to be searching and already in the search for these next additions to our church staff. Well, I'm going to continue this series, God Came Near. Here we are just a couple of days after Christmas. And so I want to ask you, how was your Christmas? Now, we don't have time to go around and for each one of you to share how your Christmas was, but think about, how was your Christmas? Was it perfect? Was it the perfect Christmas this year? You know, maybe it wasn't quite as perfect as you thought it would be. Maybe you had, you know, back at Thanksgiving, as you were starting to make your plans for Christmas, you had in your mind what your Christmas would be like. And maybe it just didn't quite turn out the way you thought it would. I want you to listen to this fictional Christmas correspondence between Martha Stewart and Irma Bombeck. Now, we all know that Martha Stewart is the queen of perfection. Everything she does is perfect. And so listen to this, these letters that these two ladies wrote to one another. This is the letter from Martha Stewart to Irma Bombeck. It says, "Hi, Irma. This perfectly delightful note is being sent on paper I made myself to tell you what I've been up to. Since it snowed last night, I got up early and made a sled with old barn wood and a glue gun. I hand-painted it in gold leaf, got out my loom, and made a blanket in peaches and mauves. Now it's time to start making the placemats and napkins for my 20 breakfast guests. I'm serving the old standard Stewart 12-course breakfast, but I didn't have time to make the tables and chairs this morning, so I used the ones I already had. I did take time to make the dishes for use for breakfast from Hungarian clay, which you can get at almost any Hungarian craft store. Well, I must run. I need to finish the buttonholes on the dress I'm wearing for breakfast. I'll get out the sled and drive this note to the post office as soon as the glue dries on the envelope I'll be making. Love, Martha." Bless her heart. And here's the response from Irma Bombeck. "Dear Martha, I'm writing this on the back of an old shopping list. Pay no attention to the coffee and jelly stains. I'm 20 minutes late getting my daughter up for school, packing a lunch with one hand, and on the phone with the dog pound. Seems old rough needs bailing out again. Burnt my arm on the curling iron when I was trying to make those cute curly fries. Still can't find the scissors to cut some snowflakes, so I tried using an old disposable razor. Ripped a tablecloth to shreds. Tried that cranberry thing. Frozen cranberries mushed up after I defrosted them in the microwave. Oh, and don't use Fruity Pebbles as a substitute for that Rice Krispie snowball recipe, unless you happen to like a disgusting shade of green. The smoke alarm is going off. Talk to you later. Love, Irma." You know, I don't know about you, but I don't know that anybody has the Martha Stewart perfect, picture perfect Christmas. Let's face it, kids get sick, people lose their jobs, people get cancer. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, we see that every day. Trouble doesn't seem to take a holiday at Christmas. That shouldn't surprise us. Even the first Christmas wasn't picture perfect. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, that's where we're going to be, and I'll be reading from Matthew 2 in just a little bit. But first, I want us to realize that Christmas can be full of hassles. Christmas can be full of hassles. Christmas can cost too much. There's too much time spent shopping and decorating, too much time trying to get everything done so that everything is perfect. Now, I'll be the first to say, I love Christmas. I really love Christmas. I love it. I don't really love the decorating. And we, Joe Ellen and I, my wife and I got married at Christmas 27 years ago. We got married. And so we got a lot of Christmas stuff. So, you know, because we have it, we put all that stuff. And I don't know whoever invented the trees that are pre-lit. This person was a genius. I know it was a husband. I know it was a dad. Because used to, I would get out all the lights and stretch them out, plug them in individually, strand by strand, to make sure they light. You know, and there's always those strands that didn't light. So you throw those away. You go to the store. You buy more. You know, but I love the pre-lit trees. The only thing is, you know, they say if one bulb burns out, the strand stays lit. Okay, that's fine. But what they fail to tell you is if one bulb comes loose, the strand won't light. So this year we have two trees. Both trees, there were lights on the trees, on the pre-lit trees that would not light. So we go through bulb by bulb, checking until they finally light. And then, in fact, I think it was Christmas Day, I was sitting by the tree and I realized, oh, there's a whole row of lights that are out. I didn't even tell my wife. So, you know, but it's just, it can be a hassle sometimes. You know, when it comes to shopping, I hate to shop. I started my shopping this past Monday, and I finished in 2.5 hours. I did all my shopping. And it's not that I hate to give. I love to give. I just hate to shop. You know, I love Christmas. Every year I watch It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve. I love it. I love to watch The Grinch, the old cartoon Grinch. I love Christmas. But let's face it, there are a lot of hassles when it comes to Christmas. There really are. And if you feel that way, don't feel bad. I know, you know, it's Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we feel like, well, we shouldn't feel this way at Christmas. But don't feel bad. It was a hassle for Joseph and Mary, too. The first hassle, of course, and we all know this, was Mary's pregnancy. Joseph and Mary, they were engaged, but they weren't married. And she turns up pregnant. Joseph was ready to call the whole thing off until the angel appeared to him and told him that everything was going to be okay. I bet Joseph had wished that the angel had come to his mom and dad and told them what was going on, or the rest of his family. I can only imagine how he felt. I mean, this, talk about a hassle. This girl that you love, this girl that is engaged to be your wife, is now pregnant. Imagine the hassle that Mary endured. Here she is, an unwed, expectant mother. Then there's all that hassle of I guess, trying to plan a wedding, you know, and all of that stuff that went along with that, the whispers and the guessing. Why would Joseph do something like this? Or how could this happen to a nice girl like Mary? She's such a nice girl. But the hassles were only just beginning. Not long after, the emperor made every male return to their birthplace, to their birth town, to register for the census, to pay a new tax, a bill that Joseph wasn't expecting, a trip that Joseph wasn't even prepared to take. And now here is his bride ready to give birth. And this extra expense, this bill, this trip. Now that happens to us at Christmas as well. You know, it never fails. Every year somebody gives you a gift that you didn't see coming. And then you think, oh my goodness, I've got to give them something in return. You know, a lot of our neighbors, you know, we live in a neighborhood where people will exchange gifts. You know, they'll bring us a bag of goodies or some Christmas soap or something. You know, and then you kind of feel obligated that you need to give them something in return. Those extra expenses. Maybe there's that trip that you've got to take that you weren't planning on taking, but it comes up. You've got those hassles that come along with Christmas. Joseph scrounges up the money. They head out for Bethlehem, where of course they meet another hassle. No room in the inn. With a wife about to give birth, Joseph settles for the only place available, a stable. So it was in that dirty stable. Now listen, I work in a hospital. We don't do dirty. I mean, infection prevention is huge. We want to keep things really clean so that our patients can be in good shape. And here they are in this dirty stable surrounded by stinking animals. Now, you know, it would almost be great if our little manger scenes at home were realistic. You know, you put the cow in there and the donkey, and then there's the little sheep, you know, you put around. It's so nice and clean and neat. You know, you pack it up every year and you get it out. Everything. Listen, this was a dirty, stinky stable with no doctor, no nurse, without an epidural. Think about it. And Mary couldn't even say, Joseph, this is all your fault. You know how women get when they're giving birth. You know, she couldn't even say that. So in these less than desirable conditions, Mary gives birth. And everything is okay. But not for long. After some months had passed, after the magi, the wise man, had left, it tells us in Matthew 2, beginning in verse 13, it says this, when they had gone, when the wise man had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets, out of Egypt I called my son. Now how would you respond if you were Joseph? How would you respond if you were Mary? Would you be at the point where you would say, Lord, enough is enough. We have been through enough already. I mean, first this pregnancy, then we had to go to Bethlehem. There was no place for us. All of this, come on, God, enough. But Joseph packed up his family and he heads for Egypt, where I assume he got a job and they lived until it was time for them to head elsewhere. They made Egypt their home for a while. Over and over, Joseph and Mary endure hassle after hassle, all for the sake of the baby. But notice something else. For every hassle, God provides help. For every single hassle, God provides help. He sends an angel to explain what he's doing. When Mary found out she was pregnant, when she told Joseph, an angel appeared to him to explain everything. He provides funds. God provides funds for them to get to Bethlehem and saves a reservation for them in a stable. Yeah, as Pastor Tim said the other week, it probably wasn't the first time a baby had been born in a stable. But there were a lot of people in town. There were no rooms. There were no vacancies. I can just imagine that neon no was shining on the signs of the inns, the hotels. He sends the wise men's gifts to fund their unexpected move to Egypt. Over and over, the story reminds us, God always provides help with our hassles. No matter what your hassle, God will always provide you help. Now, he's not Santa Claus, but he's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you what you need if you ask him. He won't always save you from every bump in the road, but he will give you grace to keep on going. He will protect you, and God will guide you. When Christmas is full of hassles, remember that God is full of help. Psalm 46:1 reminds us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present, literally meaning abundantly available help in trouble. Have you struggled with some hassles this Christmas? You know, maybe you'd say, you know, Chip, my Christmas was perfect. Everything was just like I'd planned. Or maybe you'd say, you know what? Things didn't go the way I expected. You know, if you haven't struggled with any hassles, come hang out with me for a day. I can show you some people who are struggling with hassles. People that unexpectedly realized that they didn't feel well. And they were diagnosed with cancer. Whatever your hassle, why not turn to God for help? But Christmas can not only be full of hassles, Christmas can be full of hurt. Can be full of hurt. Pain doesn't take a holiday. It'd be great if our hospital, if we could close down the week of Christmas, send everybody home, and everybody felt good, at least for a week. Gosh, that would be fantastic. You know, we try to get as many people out as we can. But pain doesn't take a holiday. The hurt doesn't go away. Even this week, we've been reminded of the pain and suffering of so many. You know, the storms that we've had, this unusual weather that we've had this week. I was reading last night, at least 18 have been killed in just the southeast in tornadoes and storms. I read where a 7-year-old little boy in Mississippi was killed after his car was picked up by a twister, the car he was riding in, and slammed a long distance away. The week of Christmas. Heard of a young college freshman who was killed this week. She was out for Christmas break. 3 of her roommates live here in Newnan. She was tragically killed this week, the week of Christmas. Pain doesn't take a holiday. People are hurting. Many times, I think we want to say, Lord, why? Why, Lord, do you allow such pain to happen? Especially at this time of the year, especially at Christmas. But the truth is, Christmas has been full of pain ever since Jesus was born. Full of hurt ever since he was born. The particular pain in this story comes after Mary and Joseph leave Bethlehem for Egypt. Look at what it says in verse 16. It says, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. In accordance with the time
he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Can you feel the horror that those moms and dads experienced when they realized what these soldiers had come to do? I imagine that these soldiers killed some moms and dads to get to the kids. How many of them maybe cried out to God to save their sons? But he didn't. In the end, their crying out didn't make any difference. These innocent children are slaughtered like lambs, and their parents are left screaming in pain, in anguish, in sorrow, as the soldiers ride away. And these parents don't even know why their sons were murdered. But we know why. Because Jesus got away. Lord, why didn't you send an angel to warn these parents so that they could have hid their children? Lord, why didn't you strike Herod down, take him out, so that this wouldn't have been carried out? Why didn't God intervene at this moment? Lord, why do you allow such pain, suffering, and death? Even at the birth of your son. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. You know, many times we read the Christmas story, and this is, to me, something we kind of just gloss right over. You know, we talk about the birth, we talk about the shepherds, seeing the star, seeing the angel. We talk about the wise men coming and presenting their gifts. And then Mary and Joseph take Jesus and they go to Egypt. A lot of times we just breeze right past these few verses. But it was incredible, excruciating pain for these families. I know many of you wonder why God allows pain and suffering in your own life. At Christmas, many times it's a hurt that nobody else even sees. Many of you, even this morning, are sitting here and there is hurt in your life, there is pain in your life that no one else knows anything about. Our church has a ministry here on Thursday nights, Celebrate Recovery. You've heard about it. You read about it. CR talks about people dealing with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We've all got them. We all have those hurts. We all have that pain. Now maybe you cry out to God and you say, God, why do you allow me to hurt? God, why do you leave me here hurting? God, why do I have cancer? Why do I have this stuff going on? Why do I have to hurt and suffer, especially at Christmas? I asked a lady last week, the week before Christmas, at the hospital. She was a caregiver. And we were just talking. I said, so are you ready for Christmas? She said, I'm ready for it to be over. I'm just ready for it to be over. Just after Christmas 2 years ago, there was a couple at CTCA. The wife was the patient. And this was just a precious, precious couple. She had been a college cheerleader. He had been a basketball star at their college where they attended. And they were just the perfect couple. They were in their latter 50s, and their son was getting married. We learned quickly right after Christmas that this lady, this mom, this wife, wasn't going to live much longer. In fact, she ended up on a vent there in the hospital, and her son came to me, and he said, Chip, he said, I know my mom is not going to make it to our wedding day, but we want her to be at our wedding. And so I went up on a Saturday morning, and there at the foot of her bed, with the immediate families present, we had their wedding ceremony. Talk about raw. Talk about pain. Talk about hurting. I've never performed a wedding where I've said the vows for better, for worse, where you're looking at it can't get much worse. In sickness and in health, everybody in the room was weeping. Later that evening, this dear, dear lady passed away. I don't have all the answers. Gosh, I wish I did. But I don't have all the answers. And even if I did, I don't think that answers would take away the hurt. All I really know is God makes a promise to all of us who are in pain. He promises his presence. Psalm 34, beginning in verse 18, tells us, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Back several years ago, pro golfer Paul Azinger was diagnosed with cancer. Later, went into remission, and he wrote about his reaction to his diagnosis. This is what Paul Azinger said. He said, I can honestly say I never said, why me? There are two ways you can react to something like this. You can say, why me, God, why me? Or you can do an about face and run to God and cling to him for your security and your hope. That's what I did. God almost never answers the why questions. More likely than not, he will not take away the pain or the grief. When you're going through a very difficult time, a hard time, maybe you've lost a loved one this year. Maybe it's been several years. And people look at you and say, oh, it's going to get better. No, it's not. The pain and the grief, it's still there. It changes, but it doesn't go away. So what can you do? What Paul Azinger did. Run to God and cling to him. Just like a little child runs and clings to his daddy and holds on tight. Run and cling to our Father. Christmas cannot promise no hassles or no hurting. So what does Christmas offer to hassled and hurting people? Christmas can bring you hope. Christmas can bring you hope. Someone has said this, we can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but only a few seconds without hope. The longer I live, the more I realize how untrue that statement is. Because there are so many who live days, weeks, months, years without hope. People can live and die with absolutely no hope of knowing where they'll spend eternity, and absolutely no hope of even believing that they will live after they die, after they take their last breath on this earth. So do people live without hope? Unfortunately, millions do. People all around Noonan and Coweta County are living without hope. Some of them showed up here Thursday evening. And I pray that they went away after hearing the gospel message of understanding what hope really is. The boy who lived, born in Bethlehem, snatched from the jaws of Herod, can offer you hope beyond your wildest dreams. Because he lives, you and I can have hope for today. Because he lives, you and I can have hope for tomorrow. Verse 19 goes on to say in Matthew 2, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. So after praying, Joseph and his family go to Nazareth, where Jesus spends the rest of his growing up years waiting for the day he will fulfill his mission. This mission is why Herod couldn't kill him. The reason why Jesus didn't die as a baby. That baby in a manger. That baby in a smelly, dirty stable grew up to be the man on a cross. And that cross is what brings hope to hassled and hurting people who are searching for hope. And let me tell you, friend, people are searching for hope in so many things, but it's going to only be found in one thing and one thing alone, and that is Jesus. Hope for today. Hope for tomorrow, and hope for eternity. We deal with some very difficult things at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. You know, as Pastor Tim said, I'm there as Director of Pastoral Care, and people a lot of times will say, how in the world do you do that day in and day out? It's what I've been called to do. There are several of us who attend Sunrise, who work at CTCA. It's just how we're wired. It's what we're called to do. We see some hard things. We see some incredible things happen. I mean, some incredible things. I met a couple about a month ago, a couple from North Carolina. He had pancreatic cancer, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And he came and he told me as they sat down with me, he said, Chip, let me tell you, he said, I'm a Christian. He said, I was saved when I was younger. He said, I was baptized. He said, I wish I could tell you that that I'm living the life that God intends for me to live. He said, but I can't. He and his wife were there meeting with me. They have two young teenage daughters. One of their daughters is autistic. And he said, you know, we're not connected to a church. He said, I know I'm not living the life God wants me to live. He said, but I want to. He said, I really am desiring that. And part of this was through the cancer diagnosis. And so as we were meeting, I felt very impressed that I needed to anoint this guy with oil and pray over him. And so I asked him, I said, I want to ask you something. I said, can I anoint you with oil and pray over you? And his wife, she went, oh my goodness. I said, what? And I thought maybe I'd said something wrong. Maybe they thought, oh, this is weird, you know. And she said, I was reading in my Bible the other day. She said, I came to that verse where it said, is any one of you sick? Have the elders anoint you with oil. She goes, are you an elder? Can you do that? And I said, yeah, I can do that. She said, oh my goodness. And so I anointed him with oil, prayed over him. And we just, you know, there's certain people you just really, really click with. We just clicked. And so he started going through all of his appointments and everything. As he began to meet with the doctors, they realized they weren't certain that this tumor, it was a large tumor, was cancerous. Or if it was, that it was contained right there on the pancreas. He had surgery 2 weeks ago. And here's what he was praying. He said they can do several different types of surgery. And he said, you know, some of them are less invasive than others. The recovery is much better. They were able to do the surgery that was the best surgery for him, getting that tumor out without causing as much recovery for him as originally anticipated. But here's what's really cool. In the midst of all of this, he's found hope. He told me the last time he came, he said, we've been visiting churches. He said, we found a church we'd like. He said, we met with a pastor. We shared with him our story, what all was going on. He said, Chip, my life has been transformed because I was diagnosed with cancer. He said, my life has been changed. Hope. That's why you and I were able to celebrate Christmas on Friday. We celebrate the hope that God gives us through His Son. Now, God doesn't offer us a hassle-free or hurt-free life, but He does offer us a hope-filled life through our faith in Jesus. This morning, Jesus invites you to come to Him and hope again. Hope in spite of all the hassles. Hope in spite of the hurt that you've experienced in your life or are experiencing right now. Listen, some of you are sitting there now and saying, nobody knows the pain that my child has caused me. Nobody knows the pain that my husband has put me through or my wife is putting me through. Some of you are sitting there this morning and you're hurting and you feel so hopeless. But friend, let me tell you, with Jesus, there is hope. It doesn't matter what's going on. There is hope. You can find that hope right now by bowing at His feet and clinging to His word, clinging to His promise, and accepting His love. Friends, God came near. Emmanuel, God with us. That's why we have hope. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you. God, we thank you for the hope that is ours through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know this morning, just 2 days after Christmas, we think about how we long for that picture-perfect Christmas. And God, I thank you that it can be because of Jesus. Lord, life isn't perfect. There are hassles, we hurt. But God, I thank you for the hope that you've given us through your Son. Father, this morning, I pray that if there's a man or woman or a student, God, if they're a mom or dad who's just really struggling, Lord, God, they would just run to you and cling to you today. Lord, maybe this morning they need to lean over to the person sitting next to them and just say, you know what, will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? I'm struggling. Father, I thank you that you came. You came to us to give us hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope for eternity. So Father, right now, we just pray that you would have your way with each of us. Father, I pray that if someone in this room, they don't know you as Savior and Lord, today they would say, I need that. I need that kind of hope. Show me how to have it. I pray that nothing would keep them from walking down forward to Pastor Tim and just saying, I need this. So God, whatever needs to happen right now, I pray that your Spirit would move in this place and that you would be honored and that you would be glorified. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As our worship team leads us, you come. As Pastor Tim is down front, you come and find the hope that you need.